Hello, everyone. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. I don't think we're too far in the New Year to say that. Well, welcome. My name is Hannah. We're glad to have you joining us, whether you're live here in the room with us or joining us online. Hi. We're so glad to be gathered here for our first service as a church of the year 2025. Yes. And we get to celebrate for the first time this year by singing out about God's goodness, his faithfulness. So as we do that, I want to invite you to stand with us. We're going to lift our voices, use our bodies, use our vocal cords, engage our whole selves in recognizing God for who he is. So we're going to start with a song from Foundation. Joel's going to lead us.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Everything around me is shaken. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations, so why would he fail now? He won't. Sing this out together. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. So I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my life on Jesus. Start a new year, we have a chance to declare our intention to build our house on the rock of who Jesus is. So we invite you to sing this out together. Rain came, wind blew, my house is built on you.
Rain came, wind blew, my house was built on you. I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it through. Rain came, wind blew, my house was built on you. I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it through. Sing it out.
My heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes,
cultural kingdom of God. Let's sing this next part in Spanish. Becky will lead us. We've had a chance to look back on where you've brought us, and as we look forward to the unknowns of this year, that we thank you that we can rest in who you are, that you are faithful, that you won't fail, as we sang in those first couple songs, that you are the high and mighty God, the name of all names that nothing can stand against. As we sang in this last song, that you are the same God whose love for us is so great that you sent your Son to die on a cross to grant us the forgiveness and the mercy we so desperately need, so that through him we might be called your children and we might be given the opportunity for a new kind of life with you and in you. And we want to return to those truths, and we want to embrace them in a fresh way this new year, God. As loved children who have been forgiven and given that new life, help us to run hard after you, to seek hard after you in 2025, that you might do your work in us through your Holy Spirit. We pray for today, even as we have this first gathering of 2025 as a church family, would your Spirit be at work in powerful ways in our midst. Help us to open ourselves up to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Everyone said together, amen. Amen. All right, well, we're also going to do something that we haven't done in a while here, which is a meeting and greeting. So we're going to give you a moment to turn to some people around you, wish them a happy new year, get a new name or two, and then you can have a seat after you're done with that.
here at Blackhawk Church. It is so good to be gathered with you. Welcome to those of you here in the room with me and to those of you who are watching online. It is so good to get to gather for this first time of the year. We actually take a break right after Christmas time because we have so many Christmas services, and we like to give a little bit of time for our amazing volunteers and staff team to take a minute and to recharge and to refuel to come back for the new year. And so we're here. If I haven't had the chance to meet you before, my name is Lynn, and I'm so excited to get to worship with you today. For those of you who may be new today, we want to especially welcome you. Thank you for joining us. We would love to meet you before you leave today. Right outside these doors, we have our Next Steps area. If you just stop by there and say hello, we would love to chat with you, help you get familiar with who we are as a church and things that are going on around here. We also just have a small gift for you as our way of saying thanks so much for joining us here today. But really, here at Blackhawk, we believe that there is a next step for every single one of us to take on our faith journey. Whether you are looking to grow in understanding what it means to follow Jesus, maybe you're looking to join a group, or you want to learn by taking a course, or you want to serve and get involved in a new way, there are so many different ways that you can get connected into our church by taking a next step. At the same time, we recognize there may be some of us here, or maybe you're watching online right now, and you're kind of unsure about what it is that you believe. Who is Jesus? What is Christianity? Is it all true? And if that's you, I want to invite you to come to a very awesome opportunity. It's a course called Alpha. Alpha will begin on January 16th, and it's a course that's 8 sessions long, and the whole course is designed to be a space where you can come and bring your honest questions about Jesus. It's a safe space. It's a space where anybody can come. And it's a place where really we want to have honest, open conversation about faith, Jesus, life, and spirituality, and the rest of it. And so whether you're able to make it to all 8 sessions, or maybe you can just come to a few, we would love to see you at Alpha if that interests you. To sign up, you can do that by going to the Hub. You can also go to the Hub to learn about any of the other opportunities that I've mentioned. So maybe right now you're going, okay, wait, what exactly is the Hub? Well, this is the Hub. You can actually scan this QR code here, or you can go to the web address listed to get to the Hub. And really, the Hub is just a tool that we have for our church. It's a way to keep connected. It's a way to find information, things like events that are coming up, care resources, message resources. It's a place where you can give financially online if you'd like to do that. It's all in one place. Really, our hope is that we want to make things as easy as possible for you to find the information that you need and to stay connected all week long and even here on a Sunday morning. So definitely check out the Hub to learn more about things coming up and things going on around our church. But today is an exciting day because we are kicking off a new series called Stronger Together, where we will really be exploring what it looks like to intentionally build relationships that go deep. They're not surface level, the kind of relationships that we believe God has created us for. And so right now, let's get ready to hear from Pastor Chris Kopp.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Blackhawk Church. How's everyone doing this morning? Great. My name is Chris. I'm the site pastor here at our Brader Way location. And I'm really excited to be together today. Hopefully it's been a good Christmas and New Year and all of those things. My family, gosh, the kids had a full 2 weeks off of school. Parents, how are we doing this morning? We're doing all right. But we had a great break full of activities like pottery painting and ice skating and watching movies together. It was a good time with family and friends and all of that. But I also know that, look, maybe the holiday season was harder for some of us. Maybe it's been a hard couple weeks, and especially as we get into these like dark and cold Wisconsin days, there could be hard days ahead too. And so if that's you, we're just so glad that you're here at Blackhawk today or worshiping with us online. And I truly hope that this can be a place of hope and comfort and connection for you, whatever it is that you might be navigating. And actually, that's some of what we're going to be talking about today and for the next 4 weeks is relationships. Today, as Lynn said, we're starting a series called Stronger Together. Now, when we first started, a few of us planning for this series, at first we thought we'd do like a talk on marriage and singleness and friendship and all these different sorts of things. But as we thought and prayed more about it, we decided that we were going to go in a different direction so that all 4 weeks would be applicable to all of us, regardless of where we're at. Now, we know that that could be challenging because we're coming in from a variety of different places, right? Married, single, divorced, widowed, great relationships, really hard relationships. And at the same time, some of us, maybe we feel really lonely right now. You're new to the Madison area, or you just started at a new school or a new job, and that can feel isolating. And then on the other opposite end of the spectrum, there are some people thinking, like, lonely? I just spent 2 weeks with a house full of family members, and I could use, like, 2 minutes to myself, right? So I get it. We're coming in from different places and maybe different hopes and expectations for what relationships could look like in the new year. But for all of us, we want to move toward the quality of our connections and having healthy relationships because we believe it's so core, so key to who God has designed us to be. But it's hard to start talking about relationships, honestly, without first talking about loneliness. Now, I don't just mean like being isolated or away from people, because I think you can actually feel lonely while being surrounded by a crowd or a room full of people. So here's a couple working definitions of loneliness that I think would be helpful for today. This one's from an author and pastor named David Kim. He says, loneliness is the ache of being disconnected from people who matter. Or here's another one from Dr. Murthy, the current U.S. Surgeon General. He puts it this way. He says, you can feel lonely even if you have a lot of people around you because loneliness is about the quality of your connections. Now, I could go on and on about all the statistics about loneliness, how it's become an epidemic, that some studies would say that in a room this size, up to 50% of the room and the people around you are feeling lonely in this moment. I could give all sorts of statistics. Or I could talk about how loneliness can be detrimental to our physical health and our mental health and all of these different kinds of things. But I don't think I need to do that. I don't think I need to convince anyone that loneliness is a big deal. Because we've all experienced it, right? Maybe if not in this season, in a different season of life. And for some of us, maybe we haven't slowed down enough to really, as Murthy says, evaluate the quality of our connections. How are our relationships doing, really? Like, do you have a few people around you that know you at more than just a surface level? Are there people that know you well and would be there for you at a moment's notice if you need something? Or are there relationships that we need to be moving toward and addressing that feel broken right now and that we're just kind of ignoring? We all have relational things that we're working through. So my question for us today is, if we know that we're lonely or if we know that we have these things going on that need to be addressed, then why aren't we doing anything about it? Or if we are, like, why isn't it working? Why does this area of our lives often feel so difficult? About 12 years ago now, I was a second-year student at Denver Seminary, and there were a group of about 40 of us students that decided to start a flag football league. And this might come as a surprise when you think about a bunch of future pastors playing football, but the games got honestly pretty rough, and injuries were not uncommon. One game in particular, my team was like on the final drive of the game, ready to take the lead, and we were going for this deep pass. And I could just like picture it. It was like in a movie, the ball is soaring, and I was ready to go up, do a leaping grab, come down with the touchdown, and I would ride off on everyone's shoulders, right? But that's not what happened. Instead, I went up. I don't actually remember if I caught the ball or not. I should just say I caught it. That would make for a better story. But I came down, and the more important part was that I landed on someone else's foot. And then someone else rolled up on the back of my ankle, and I heard something pop. Never good, right? So I went off to the sideline where a friend who was an athletic trainer happened to be watching. She took a look at it, and she said, I don't think it's broken, but you're going to need to watch the swelling and see what it does over the next few days. So what I heard was, it's not broken. I'm golden. Like, things are going to be fine. So I made it home to my apartment that night, and by the evening when my nurse wife, Amy, came home from work, it looked like this. And yes, that's actually my foot. I kind of look like a hobbit. That's not a very flattering picture. So sorry. Some of you were just like, I'm going to ease into it with church in the new year, and then you see this. I'm very sorry about that. But my wife, she took one look at it and she said, yeah, that's definitely broken. But undeterred, I'd broken ankles and sprained ankles before. I assured her, I'm fine, it's gonna be fine. But for some reason, she didn't believe me. And so she made me promise that if it wasn't looking better within the next 24 hours, she would make me go see a doctor and get an x-ray. Okay, I reluctantly agreed to that. So fast forward 24 hours, and she again came home from work. And this time I was literally scooting around our apartment in an office chair because I couldn't put any weight on it. That's because it now looked like this. Yeah, right? You guys, I should have listened to my wife, right? It was definitely broken. I just didn't want to do anything about it. And today, I think some of us are suffering from a loneliness limp or a relationship limp. We know that something's broken. We even might know what is broken, and yet, for a variety of reasons, we're just not doing anything about it. Or what we have been doing, it isn't working. And so we're just trying to like keep that area of life to the side, and we distract ourselves with social media and busyness and careers and studying and all the kids' activities and all the things. But like a beach ball that you just keep pushing deeper under the water, at some point, it's going to force its way out in destructive ways if we don't address it, if we don't pay attention to it. So what's the answer? Is there hope for our relationships and this area of our lives if we're willing to take a step of faith? Yes, you guys, absolutely, there's hope. God has designed us to be relational people who have meaningful connections with those around us. And so it's my job today to talk about that, about how God has designed us for relationship. So in order to do that, we're going to look at a story from Ecclesiastes 4 of a man who's coming to terms with his own relationship limp. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to Ecclesiastes 4 or on your devices or pay attention to the screen. Let's pick it up at verse 7. Again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. Happy New Year. It's always good when we start off with that, right? There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. Now, when you look at verse 8 for just a second, it says, a man all alone. In the Hebrew that this was originally written in, it could mean more literally like there was one, but not a second, not even a son or a brother. And why is he alone? We have some hints, right? Like, clearly he's working really hard. He's invested in his career, his work. He's toiling. He's trying to accumulate wealth. That much is clear. He's focused on those things and not on his relationships. But, and we don't know this for sure, but maybe there's other things going on beneath the surface. Maybe there was a fallout with a spouse or a close family member or friend that never got addressed, and now they don't talk to each other. Or harmful words that were spoken, or a conflict that came up in a relationship, and now they're not a part of his life either. And so now, instead of moving toward those things, he's just trying to distract himself from those things through wealth, through his job, through his career, and through those different kinds of things that the passage talks about. So if we bring the story into a modern context, we could say that he probably has a lot of social media followers. He is climbing the ladder of success. He's accumulating wealth. He's living the American dream. And yet, there's a limp. This realization that, gosh, if I don't have people around me or anyone to share this with, it's all meaningless. We're watching in real time as he's coming to terms with his own limp that he has. But then notice the contrast as we go from there, as the author of Ecclesiastes begins to contrast this man's story with what comes next, with how God has designed us for relationship. Check out verse 9. It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Pause right there for just a moment, because I know that some of you feel this deeply. This reality that you could fall and then who knows how long it might be until someone's there to help you up. This just happened to one of my family members within the last few weeks. Or you're getting a little bit older, your health is deteriorating, and you're starting to think about these things, like who's going to be there for me near the end when I'm really in my time of need? And I just want to say that we want to be your church. We want to be a family where we care and support each other in that way, where even if you don't have family around you, you're able to make connections and relationships of people who will love and care for you and to support you. But know that we see you and we want to be your church too. Let's keep going. Verse 11. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. These verses are a beautiful picture of how God has designed us for relationship. And from cover to cover in the Bible, we see this reiterated over and over again that God has created us to be in meaningful relationships with the people around us. But at this point, maybe you're still not convinced. You're like, nah, relationships are good for some people, but I'm more of a loner. I got my relationship with God, and that's enough. And some of us were raised to be like tough and self-sustaining and not to be dependent on other people. And some of that can be good, right? Some of that can be healthy to an extent. But you guys, even God himself has existed for all eternity in a loving mutual relationship as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And now I don't have time to go into a deep theology of the Trinity right now, but bottom line is that God himself is relationship. It's who he is. And so if we are going to be like God, if we're going to follow him and image him to the world around us, then we too were created for relationship. All of us need relationships and are stronger together. And this is the picture that the author of Ecclesiastes is trying to paint with these different word images. The most famous one is the one about ropes and the cord of three strands. But here's another example from my own life. Back when we were living in Colorado, a group of us friends thought it would be fun to climb the Manitou Incline. And to say that it's an incline is, let's say, a gross understatement. Take a look at this. This is the incline. It's a series of large steps that this path was created when years ago a railway was washed out by the rain. And so it gains 2,000 feet of elevation in just under a mile. So it's a pretty steep grade. And it ends at 9,000 feet above sea level. You guys, the air is real thin up there. So we started off on the hike, and most of us, it was fine. We were keeping up with our friends Emmanuel and Kelly, who were college athletes. But not long into the hike, it became clear really quickly that this was going to be a long and difficult journey ahead. It felt like every 60 seconds or so, a bunch of us were like huddled over on the side, gasping for air. We would learn later that athletes from the United States Olympic Training Center in nearby Colorado Springs would use this for their conditioning, and so would members of the Air Force. Now, I knew I wasn't like an Olympic-level athlete or something like that, but I thought I was in pretty decent shape. That is until we saw a grandpa go up with his son on his shoulders at a pretty good clip. And at that point, we were just like, we're done. Like, we're just going to go and eat ice cream at the bottom. Oh, wait, Emmanuel and Kelly, you guys can finish, but we're just going to wait for you. But they were having none of it. They slowed their pace, even though they could have finished in less than 30 minutes. And they even helped us through more difficult parts of the trail, grabbing us by the hands and helping us up. And without a hint of frustration or cheesiness, they kept saying these things like, you guys, you got this. We're going to finish this together. No one's going to be left behind. Take your time. We're going to do this. And eventually, everyone in our group made it to the top. See, if we'd given up, we would have missed out on having the opportunity to accomplish this with friends and seeing the view at the top and doing something that we didn't think we could do, but we needed Emmanuel and Kelly's support and encouragement. Now, I would show you a picture of our group from the top, but you can imagine that we were pretty rough looking, and I don't think most of the group would appreciate if I put that up there. So instead, here's a picture of Emmanuel, who's on the right, and myself, and our friend Blake from seminary. We were back in the Denver area this past October and got to reconnect. Because honestly, you guys, that trip, that hike, helped to solidify a lifelong friendship with Emmanuel and Kelly, where we were there soon after the birth of our kids and there for celebrations, and there in the midst of hard things and hard paths that we walked as well. And we continue to root for them from afar. So why does God create us for relationships? What's the purpose? Gosh, I could list a whole bunch of things, but he uses them to sharpen us and to encourage us, to keep us on the right track, to identify things in ourselves that we don't see that we need to grow in. It helps us to support us in our time of need, to remind us of things that are true of us when we don't believe it ourselves. And most importantly, helps us more closely follow Jesus on the journey of faith. God's design for us to be in relationship is beautiful. We're stronger together. So if that's how he's designed us, if that's how he's created us, why does this often feel so difficult? What is it that we're missing or working against that often makes this feel like it just can't be a reality in our lives? Well, the bad news is we've got like a lot of things working against us that are kind of outside of our control. In this day and age, we are busier than ever with careers and work and studying and kids and all that kind of stuff. And the world is more transient than ever. We're moving from place to place. And even if we stay put, the people around us move, right? And so it can feel like we're constantly needing to develop new relationships. And then there's these things, our phones, right? That like at any moment could distract us and pull us away from even the people that are right in front of us and from those relationships. Here's how a technology journalist and author named Catherine Price talks about this. She says, if you wanted to invent a device that could rewire our minds, if you wanted to create a society of people who are perpetually distracted, isolated, and overtired, if you wanted to weaken our memories and damage our capacity for focus and deep thought, if you wanted to reduce empathy, encourage self-absorption, and redraw the lines of social etiquette, you'd likely end up with a smartphone. Now, we're going to talk more about that in just a second, but bottom line, we have our work cut out for us. We're not just going to happen to find ourselves in healthy relationships. We're going to have to be intentional. But there's other more personal reasons why we might choose to avoid this area of our lives too, right? Maybe we've experienced really hard, broken relationships, and so it's just easier just to like not put ourselves out there again and just avoid that altogether. Or maybe we come from a hard family background and no one ever showed us how to have healthy relationships, and so we're just kind of tentatively wading through the waters, trying to figure out what that looks like. Or maybe there's a fear of rejection. Like if they really know me, they would run or reject me or fill in the blank, right? And there's probably all sorts of other reasons that we could come up with that are really real. We all have those things. And so throughout the rest of this series, we want to move toward a bunch of those things. So next week, Pastor Matt is going to be talking about building healthy relationships and what that can look like. The following week, Pastor Daniel Owen will talk about when relationships go wrong, how we can navigate conflict and move toward resolution and in the midst of relationships that are hard. And then the final week, Pastor Tiffany Malloy will talk about how being vulnerable in relationships can feel scary, but when we do it in the right way with the right people, it can lead to our growth and transformation in experiencing God's love for us. So that's a little bit of what's ahead over the next few weeks. But with the rest of the time, I want to give us some practical things that we can do as we leave from here to press into relationship in the new year. Now, you don't have to do all of these things that I'm about to mention. That would be way too much. But listen for like the one or the two that you feel a nudge toward. And as Pastor Matt talked about last week in his Worship Where You Are message, I want to reiterate this challenge to our church as one of your pastors that in this new year, as we're making New Year's resolutions and goals about the people that we want to be, that we would be a church that's intentional about moving toward connection and healthy relationships in the year ahead. So here's a few ideas of what that could look like. The first one is to join a group. Community groups here at Blackhawk Church are designed to help us do exactly what we've been talking about, to make connections and friendships and community with the people around us at Blackhawk Church. When you're a part of a community group, you'll get to share about your lives, things that are going well, things that are hard. You'll open the Bible together. Many of our groups talk about the message from the previous week. You'll get to pray for each other and honestly, like, just have fun and do things together, often revolving around food. That's one of my favorite things about group time sometimes. Now I know, though, like, that sounds easy, that sounds comfortable, but it takes a lot of vulnerability to step into something like that, right? A lot of bravery to put yourself out there. Whether you're new and you're just like, I don't know what I'm getting myself into, I don't know that I want to take this step, or you've been a part of a group in the past and just felt like you got burned by that and it didn't go well, and so you're hesitant to jump back in again. But I want to encourage us to take that step of faith because it can be so worth it. Put yourself out there and try to join a group where you can make those connections here at Blackhawk. In my own life, I haven't always experienced like close relationships and connections with people around me, especially when I've been new to a new city or to a new place. I can remember vividly a couple times like hearing people around my apartment like coming and going, they're laughing and chatting with their friends, having people over for parties and all these different kinds of things, and sitting there and just thinking like, am I ever going to have friendships and relationships in this new place, in this new city? And yet I continue to press in and to take a step toward relationship and connection because it's been so worth it in my life. From the time that I became a Christ follower at the University of Wisconsin and was in community with a small group of guys in the witty dorms on campus, all the way through seminary and the men and women that would become lifelong friends, and even today with the community group that we're in and that we love, we would not be the people that God has created us to be or be able to walk through the hard things in life without those people around us. So if that's you, maybe you feel that nudge to take a step toward relationship for the first time, consider joining a community group. To do that, you can go to Next Steps afterward, have a conversation. They'd love to talk you through that, or you can also head online and see what's available as well. All right, so that's join a group. Here's the second one, is to do the hard work. Now, I know, as we've been talking about all of this today, some of you are trying to pay attention, but you're actually, like, you're thinking about that relationship that just isn't going well. Whether it's a marriage or a friendship or someone that ghosted you and you're just not sure what to do about it. And so that's your focus right now. So I want to encourage you to take the hard step toward reconciliation, toward healing, toward health, whatever that looks like for you. Maybe that's seeking out counseling or talking to someone here on our care team at Blackhawk Church or one of our pastors, or just telling a friend that you're going through this hard thing, but do the hard work of getting support and reaching out for help. Here at Blackhawk Church, we have a number of things coming up that can help and can assist with this kind of thing. In the next couple months, we have crash courses starting on parenting, and there's one on marriage to invest in your relationships that way. We have grief share groups starting up where if you've experienced the loss of a loved one or something else difficult in your life, you can join together with other people who are in a similar place. There's divorce care groups if you're separated or going through a divorce. There's alongside partners, which is exactly what it sounds like, people that will just listen to you and pray for you. There's a bunch of opportunities. So again, if you go to the hub, head online, you can learn more about all of those different kinds of things, but do the hard work. All right, number three is to rethink your phone. You guys ready for this? I hear some groaning. You guys ready for this one? All right, here's the question. Are the ways that you're engaging with your phone helping or hurting your relationships? A few months ago, I was having a conversation with my wife, and by conversation, I mean she was talking to me, and I was like scrolling Twitter, like looking at political hot takes, or I think I was looking at Instagram, like Elf on the Shelf ideas, maybe looking for Black Friday deals, all that kind of stuff. And eventually she stopped what she was saying and said, through frustration, "Chris, I've been talking to you for like 3 minutes and you haven't looked up from your phone once. What are you doing?" And in that moment, I thought, oh boy, I think I might need to do some internal work with my relationship with my phone, because clearly it's getting in the way of my own relationships with the people around me. So since about November, I've had pretty much all social media apps completely removed from my phone, especially the ones that cause me just to mindlessly scroll. You know the ones I'm talking about, right? You pull out your phone, you don't even do it like thinking consciously, and you just start to scroll things. And honestly, at first, I began to feel a little bit of withdrawal. Like, I pull up my phone, but like scrolling on your calculator or your bank app just doesn't have the same effect, right? But eventually, as I kind of got adjusted to things, it just began to feel freeing. Being able to be, at least try to be, I'm not perfect in this, just ask my family, but try to be more present to the people right around me, especially my wife and my kids. Now, it's not a magic fix, but it's one thing that we can try to invest in healthy relationships. Now, what I'm not saying is that we need to like all take these and throw them in the trash. Most of us do really important things on our phones. Most of us are reliant on them for work and buying things for our families. We just planned a vacation on our phones, all sorts of different things, paying the bills. You guys get it. And some of you have even created like amazing social media businesses that are a huge blessing to other people. Heck, we at Black Hawk Church, we have social media accounts, right? That are really important to be able to keep people informed and to share the good news of the gospel. But what I'm saying is, like anything, if we don't have healthy parameters around those things, it can be detrimental to our health and our relationships. So if you're feeling the nudge to do something about your own relationship with your phone, if you're feeling convicted and want to move towards something, here's a few practical ideas of steps that you could take. Number one, you could try just turning off your notifications so you're not constantly being encouraged to pick up your phone. You could try having no phones at meals, especially when you're out with a friend or with your family around the table. If you have kids, you could try keeping your phone out of sight for at least the stretches while you're playing with them throughout the day or at bedtime or that kind of stuff. And this isn't possible for everyone, but maybe even just for a week, try removing social media apps from your phone. At least, again, the ones that cause you to easily, mindlessly scroll. Mainly as a way just to kind of like reset your heart and your mind and to focus on the things that are most important and the people that are right in front of you. I know, again, it's not magic, but imagine just trying one or two of these things, the impact that that could have on your marriage, on your family, on your friendships. So I want to challenge all of us to at least be considering our relationship with our phones. Is it helping our relationships, or is it hurting our relationships? And then finally, last one is to be intentional. Be intentional with the people that you already have relationships with, whether it's a friendship that's important to you, pursue that friendship. Or you have a marriage that's great, but continue to pursue that. So put deposits into that account to make it healthier and healthier. If you have someone that you look up to and respect, ask them to mentor you or to meet every once in a while just to kind of process life together and to pray. And for some of us here at Black Hawk Church, we probably feel well connected. We look around and we actually know a lot of the people that we're sitting near. And if that's you, I wanna encourage you to look around for the other people around the room. Or as you're in the atrium, look around, because there are people sitting next to you right now that are desperate for connection and for someone to take notice of them here at church. They're wondering, like, am I ever going to meet people here at Black Hawk? Am I ever going to develop relationships and friendships? So let's be the kind of church community, the kind of family that looks out for each other, that brings everyone along, that everyone gets to the top of the mountain. Amen? Well, you guys, it doesn't matter who you are. We all feel lonely at one point or another. It's just a part of human life. It comes for us in different seasons. And relationships can be hard, like really hard. right? We're broken people, and so relationships can be messy. But the good news is we don't have to settle for a limp or like a shadow version of relationship, because God has created us for meaningful connections and deep relationships with the people around us. So it's a new year. It's 2025. Feels a little bit weird to say that. Again, it's a time when we're making New Year's resolutions and setting goals about the people that we want to be and what's going to be true of us in this next year ahead. So what if we were really intentional to pursue healthy relationships in whatever way that looks like for you? There's no telling what God might do to restore a relationship that feels hopelessly broken right now. Or what he might do to help you make connection and friendship with someone that you don't even know yet, but God is going to bring and join your lives together. So let's do that together. Let's be intentional because we're stronger together. In just a moment, I'm going to pray for us, but the band is going to come up, and they're going to play just some background music for a couple minutes, and there will be questions on the screen. I just want to give us some time to reflect and to pray, instead of just rushing into this new year, to be able to reflect on where we're at relationally when it comes to some of these different areas of our lives. So they'll begin to play. Feel free to pray and to use that time as you wish, and then they'll close us out in worship. But let me pray for us. God, you have beautifully designed us to be in relationship with other people. An extrovert, introvert, somewhere in between, that's going to look different for all of us, the things that we need, the types of relationships that we need. But for everyone listening, for us as a church, would you move us into deeper connection and healthier connections with the people around us? Right now, God, I pray for people that maybe they're new to Madison or a new school or job, and they just feel lonely. God, would you give them hope and help them to find connection in the season ahead? And for people that maybe feel like there's a marriage or a friendship or something with a family member, a parent or a son or a daughter that feels like it can never be mended, God, would you bring hope and restoration? You are the reconciler of all things, and you can do miracles and bring restored relationships to the things that are broken around us. And God, for those of us that feel like, you know what, we're in a pretty good spot, help us to be people like you, God, who invite others into this family, into connection and relationship that help bring others to the top of the mountain. But God, we look forward to what you're going to do in this year ahead, in this season ahead, to help us move toward relationship because we're stronger together. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name.
Well, as Chris just said, we're going to take a couple minutes right now just to give some space for us all to reflect on where we're at relationally heading into this new year, 2025. So there'll be a couple questions up on the screen, a series of, I think, four questions. We'll give you a couple minutes to reflect on those as we play some music quietly in the background, and then we'll sing together in just a few minutes. So for now, take some time to talk to God and to reflect on these questions. invite you to sing with me. Let's sing together, I've Got a Friend.
I've got a friend. Closer than a brother. There is no judgment. Oh,
Amen. What an awesome way to start our year together. You guys, there is an invitation and there is a challenge for every single one of us that we would decide that this year we want to invest in our relationships, that we would come to a place of being committed to going deeper, having healthy relationships. For some of us, this may mean that there's some hard work to do. For some of us, this may mean putting ourselves out there in a new way. But for all of us, there's an invitation to think right now, what steps will you take to prioritize your relationships this year? As Chris mentioned, we have some opportunities around here at our church that we'd love for you to consider. First, if you are not in a group, I want to encourage you, get in a community group. Try it out if you've never done it before. If you've done it years ago and it's been some time, try it again. Community groups are an amazing place to build relationships, to go deep together, and we have all kinds of stages and seasons of life. We also have some groups that are geared towards specific types of situations you may be going through. Divorce care, grief share, our alongside ministry. We also have courses like Alpha, all different opportunities that you can learn about by visiting the Hub, and we really hope that you do, because we believe that God has amazing things in store for this year, and he wants us to grow in our relationships with him and with each other. Our benediction today comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, which says this: "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." We'll see you next week.